Now, we've got you on the call, Mr. Smith, and we've got some of your crew on the call, Mr. Jeremy Whitaker, and I wanted to have you guys on. I know that you're in paradise over there, and you're surrounded by a lot of great leaders, and I know that's a working trip as well, but I didn't want to miss an opportunity to really be able to speak specifically about not only what Jeremy has been able to accomplish and what we're going to be talking about, and John Griffin as well, but I wanted to have you on to just really speak to who he is, because I know that a lot of people have not had an opportunity to meet Jeremy Whitaker yet, and I think we're going to be hearing a lot more from both of these names, but I just knew that since I haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with him, that I wasn't going to be able to do it justice. So I really appreciate, Brad, you being on and kind of helping us kick this thing off, because honestly, it could be, from a fundamentals call, one of the most important calls that we've had in a little while. Because I think that some of the things that people can pick up with what these guys are doing can absolutely change everything about their stance, their approach on these lead types, as well as just the result they're getting, which is the most important thing, the number of people that we're able to help. So, Brad, I wanted to have you on, and I appreciate you being on to help us introduce Jeremy. So over to you, buddy.
Yeah, man. I just wanted to set the stage first, because I know there's a lot of people within my organization and other organizations that, you know, when you're used to direct mail leads, they're just unbelievable leads, but there's obviously some limitations to those. There's only so many people, number one, that are getting a new loan and getting our letter. There's only so many people that respond to direct mail marketing. I'm not one of them. Most people don't respond. That doesn't mean they're not going to be a great candidate or somebody that wants to protect their family. And so I love that the Miller Group, and with Miranda Martin and John Ziller, all that crew helped develop these call-in leads, because these are highly targeted people. These are all still people that got a loan. And if you asked 100% of them, would you like to have your family protected in the event of a death or disability or critical illness and make sure that that mortgage is paid for so your family can live in this home, I would bet you 97% of them would say yes. They just don't all respond to direct mail. So I think you have to understand that's one of the things they're going to talk about, is the mindset when you're calling these call-in leads. And I wanted to specifically have the two gentlemen we have on because of the results that they're getting. You know, John Griffin, he's one of my favorite people in our agency. Unbelievable background with his experience. He's been in over 12,000 homes doing kneecap to kneecap in-home sales for 26 years. He's got that experience. So the way he can, you know, rebuttal objections and overcome that sort of thing is incredible. He was the number one agent in Symmetry for first quarter this year. I think he's either in the top 10 or close to it for the year so far. He's written 207,000 for the year so far, and we're about halfway through. And almost everything that he gets is call-in leads. So we can't say that call-in leads aren't good leads or they don't work. He's on track to do $400,000 for the year on almost all call-in leads. And then you got Jeremy Whitaker, who's very similar. He's number one in Symmetry right now. He's written $290,000 so far, most of it being on call-in leads. And just the work ethic that he has, it's absolutely – I mean, he is an inspiration to our entire organization with his background. You know, with – he doesn't have the same experience that John Griffin has. I was talking to him more about his story while we're here, and I learned that him and his wife met at a Zaxby's, and then he became a manager of a Burger King, and now he's number one in Symmetry Financial Group with a couple thousand agents. It's unbelievable. So it just proves that with work ethic, with dedication, anybody can excel here. So I wanted to have the two of these guys on, and just we did a call a couple weeks ago for our team. We looked at their numbers, and I asked John, can you look into your numbers and figure out what's your percentage of the appointments, all the people you talk to for call-in leads, what percentage do you convert into actual appointments? And it was 1/3. So 1 out of every 3. If you do the math on that and you look at what – it doesn't matter what the cost of the lead is, guys. What matters is your cost per appointment, your cost per sit. That's all that matters. And he said that call-in leads have it's the cheapest cost per sit that there is of any lead type that you can work here. Same with Jeremy Whitaker, and they're going to talk about those numbers. But Jeremy's numbers were 1 out of 2 out of every other call-in lead that he that he calls, he's booking an appointment. It's incredible. So what they're going to cover today is, number one, mindset, how to approach these leads. But number two, some very specific things that you're going to want to take notes on how to cover some of these objections. There's only a handful of objections that you're ever going to get with these leads. And if you can become a master of the trade, become a professional of this business, and you can learn these rebuttals, it's just wash, rinse, repeat after that. It's got to become second nature. As soon as you hear that objection, out comes the rebuttal for it. And so they're going to cover exactly what they say when somebody says, I didn't fill that out, or I don't have a mortgage, or, you know, whatever some of the things that you're like, how am I supposed to cover that? Believe it or not, there are ways to do it. And there are they're proving it. So I'm excited to have Jeremy. You're going to kind of host it. I know you and John are going to converse back and forth, and I'll just hand it over to you.
Awesome. Well, man, thanks for setting up that way. And definitely, I'm Jeremy Whitaker, direct to Brad and Matt Smith, and definitely blessed to be a part of it. And looking at the same views as what you are, it's a good day today. I, first off, of course, a part of the Edward Pritchett hierarchy, and I definitely want to take the time and thank you, Brandon, and Brian and Casey. For really the opportunity, something that I've come into in less than a year's experience and completely changed my life and my family's life. It's just been unbelievable. I am super, super excited about this call and about who I'm doing this call with. And it just kind of to roll call it out. And John Griffin, are you on the call?
Yes, sir.
Good, good. And man, I know we went through this and did a call similar not too long ago. And just the results that it's been having within, I don't know about your team, John, but I know on my team and my agency, the results that's come from it and the amount of people that are getting these call-in leads to convert over into appointments that weren't getting them before. So if you're on the phone, I mean, because I know that there is so many people. I talk to people in my agency, people across different agencies that, you know, I struggle here. These call-ins are kind of hard. They're tough. And if you are that person, get your pen, get your paper. John Griffin's got some good stuff to share. I've got some good stuff to share. We're going to try to get through this as quick as possible and try to be on time. But I'm pretty sure you guys are in for a treat. Now, you know, when it comes to the call-in leads itself, I mean, I think just back to coming into this business, and one of the first conversations that I had with Brad Smith, he was talking about, well, how we generate business, how we prospect, and how about 1%, 1.5% responds to direct mail. And he tossed around some ideas and had this passion behind how do we get in front of more people. And when the call-ins came out, it was night and day difference between how many leads that I got to work per week. Now, I'm one of those who, you know, I've been – you know, bad at things, I've been good at things. I'm normally bad at them first, but then I learned how to get really good at them. And for me, it was a struggle in the very beginning just because it was different. And it is different. It was more like I've got, you know, 10 years of door-to-door sales experience. And to me, it seemed more like that type of a sell, more like where I had to put on a different type of hat. I love the way that Brad Smith, he explained it on our call, and he used an analogy of really like a Walmart employee or a Walmart cashier, and how you're really just order taking there, and that's really what we compare direct mail leads to. I mean, it's a different type of call, it's a different type of posture that you have to have, and obviously a Walmart cashier isn't going to have the same sort of workload or skills or as a salesperson, as a person who's going out and prospecting and generating new business and having to go out and close it and learn how to get good at that. But obviously we know which one makes the most money. The salesperson is going to make the more money because they have to have different types of skills. So I think I love that analogy so much because it's so true with the call-in leads. Like, yes, we have to have sort of a different hat on, so to speak. you know, I've got to be thinking a little bit differently. The client may be just a little bit differently. They're not the one who would have responded to my direct mail lead, but they respond to things like urgent, or this is about your mortgage, or call now. Those are more of what I like to consider your impulse buyers, those ones who, hey, urgent, this is urgent, I got to get this done. Or like myself, when I walk in a store and don't need anything, I mean, one or two items, but I walk out and I've got a whole basket full, and then, you know, you don't even remember why I bought it at the end of it. So I've got to take that person back to what were their impulses about at that moment. Right? My mindset has got to be a little bit different, because I know that there's a few different objections that will be able to come up here, and I've got to be able to handle those tactfully. So it does require a little bit more skill, right? I am going to get a little bit different of a response on these. But I think what's super important is the fact that, well, like I said, you're getting 3% to 4% as a response ratio on call-in leads. I thought about that for a second, and I really thought, you know, I came here last year and we did 80 million, right? Like, it had to happen. I had to come here that last year. I mean, we did it. We pulled through. But seriously, 1% rate of return got us to $80 million as a company. Now, when you're talking about going to 3% on one other lead type, I mean, still having our 1%, but going to 3% on another lead type, what in the world is the potential for what Symmetry is actually getting ready to do based off of a 3%? That's three times the response rate. So obviously, as a company, if we're going to continue to grow, one thing we have to really realize is that as a company, we've got to grow our marketing efforts as well. We've got to continue to be able to get in front of people, and that's what was so attractive about me about Symmetry for me. So, yeah, we mentioned a little bit about cost per sit. Yeah, that's going to be different. And for me, I know that, well, if I sit, I get 20 A leads a week. If I get 20 direct mail leads every single week, I'm going to set maybe 15 to 17 appointments. I'm going to sit down on about 12 of those, do about 12 apps. So really, like Brad said, I'm not really paying in my mind for the leads. I don't really care what the cost per lead is. What I care about is what is the cost of me sitting down with a client? And that cost is $63 with a direct mail lead. Whereas if I am talking about a call-in lead, if I get the same 20 call-in leads, now get this, I may not set 17 appointments. I'm going to set about 10 of them, about a half of those call-in leads that I got in. But when I set those 10 appointments, I'm going to sit on about 6 of them. My cost per sit is about $41 on a call-in lead versus $63 on a direct mail lead. Huge. Huge. That's what, 50% more, less expensive to sit down with that client than it would on a direct mail. So it became actually my favorite lead to work. Now, am I only going to, and you've got to ask yourself a question at some point, because I do get a lot, like I said, phone calls from people and how are you doing on call-in leads? And these are just tough. And I'm not getting the same response. I can't book anything on them. And really, you have to sit back and ask yourself, now, on direct mail leads, I'm going out and I'm doing okay and I'm making the income. Is it only because direct mail leads are just easy? Is it just because it's easy? It can't be. And I would beg to differ for everybody on the phone. We all know we came into this thing, and hopefully nobody boosted this up to be an easy job for you, right? But it is worthwhile. It is pretty rewarding at the same time, but you had to grow those skills in order to get good at it. And I think if we focus our energy on how do I make myself better on the phone, how do I get myself my posture, and how do I come up with better rebuttals to these objections and smash them or to prevent them from happening anyway. So we'll go through a little bit of that. Really, on the forefront of my mind, whenever I'm looking at call-in leads, one of the things that's super important to me is my mindset is just to get resolution. I don't want them looking at me like this, you know, the salesperson or some, you know, big guru or, you know, hotshot. I really want them to see me in their mind while I'm on the phone with them as a guy behind a desk that's making, you know, close to minimum wage. And I'm really just there to kind of figure out what I'm doing with this information that they requested, trying to get it back out to them. So I'm really just trying to get resolution. I have to treat it like it's just another lead. I've got to find out what the problem is, what they're actually worried about. And for me, I think the biggest thing about anything that I do, I've trained, you know, hundreds of salespeople, and the biggest thing in sales to me is you've got to go out and you've got to have fun. So when I'm on the phone, I'm having a lot of fun. I know I'm waiting for those silly objections. I know I'm going to smash them. I'm not expecting everybody to be an appointment. I know that, like I said, one out of two. So I know just as well as I'm expecting out of a 20 leads, I'm expecting 10 appointments. I'm also expecting 10 no's. And I think for me, it's been more fun waiting on those no's and really trying to get my no's out of the way. Because at the end of the day, there is a certain group of those people who are going to be yeses no matter what. Those are the ones that I'm going to book the appointment, go over there, write the application. They're going to be a laydown, in my opinion. And there's also ones that I'm going to have to do a little bit more work with. I might have to pull a little bit more out of them. I might have to create a little bit of a need there for them or have them realize that need. But I'm really – if I focus on going for no, no's actually making me happy. It doesn't depress me. Whereas some people get those no's and then they take it and it's in their head. They got their one or two, or they call through five call-in leads and every one of them was a no, 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 no. For me, it's like I've got five no's out of the way already. I only got five more no's in this stack and then I can get to my 10 yeses. For some people, it's like, man, I got no. And now you get back on the phone and you sound defeated and it comes through and it projects through the phone. And now that client, you're going to get the same results that you got on those last five leads that told you no because of your mindset. So I think the first and most important thing for me is to have fun with it and to go in and find that problem. I think really, really important is that when I'm on the phone and while we're talking about mindset, I'm just looking really for those people who are warm. I'm not trying to deal with those people who are super cold. I know there's going to be some people in there that, you know, I'm not interested, hang up, blah, blah, blah. I'm not looking at those people. I'm not trying to fight and sell on the phone and all of that stuff. What I'm really looking for is those people that are warm. I'm looking for those people that, yeah, even though they're not like completely as, you know, direct about, yes, I need this as a direct mail lead, I know there's warmth. I'm keeping them on the phone. They're answering my questions. I'm going to work with those people, and I'm not going to work with those who are just, you know, whatever you want to call them, for lack of me not having a good term to use for a national call. But really, when it goes to mindset, it's in the back of my mind that I'm looking for the problem. I'm a problem finder when I'm on the phone. And whenever I'm in the home, I'm the problem solver. That's when I'm closing, right? So I don't know, John, I know you have a big insight as far as what's your mindset, how you posture things, sort of how you come around things. If you will, kind of touch on what is your mindset when you go in and get ready to dial the call-in leads, and then we'll come back and we'll get into some specific techniques and stuff that we can go through.
Sure. Yeah. Glad to be on the call. My name's John Griffin, and Director Vlad Stefanovich and Brad and Matt. So, selling's not new to me. It's all I've done since I was 19, one call close. And I've hired and trained about 2,500 sales reps across the country. And I've been in a lot of homes, but prior to Symmetry, I never made calls, ran phone rooms, hired and trained closing managers for phone rooms, but never made calls. So this was kind of a new thing for me and had those butterflies coming in. But my dad used to say, it's nice to know what to do, and it's really nice to know what not to do. Knowing what to do is sitting on this call and me and Jeremy are telling you how to do it. Knowing what not to do is you're getting on the phone and not doing what we tell you, and you do it wrong. Oh, golly, I ain't going to do that again. So I'm going to try to give you some tidbits and some nuggets, and hopefully you can reach down in your bag of mojo and take this in the field and make it yours. So mindset. I used to run some large sales organizations years ago, and I would see sales reps do this. We would hand out the leads. We would have sales meetings 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We had about 50 guys and gals in a room. We'd hand the leads out. There's always one or two that would pick the lead up, and they would start reading it. And they go, man, this is in freaking Jonesboro. Man, I went there last week. These people are going to be broke, man. And they would get in their car, and they would drive out to the house. And as they're driving through the subdivision, I'd get a call from them. Man, every other house has a freaking car on cinder blocks. These people probably won't even be there. And then he'd knock on the door. He'd call me back. Man, the dang guy's not even here. These leads suck. His company sucks. Manager sucks. And I would say, Kylie, no, you suck. Stinking thinking. That will get you nowhere. I believe you can will a one leg. You can will a no-show. If you get your mind down there and you start thinking, that's exactly what you're going to get. So there's a movie I like, and one of the conferences I got an opportunity to speak. It's called Over the Top, and Sylvester Stallone is this arm wrestle guy, and he goes around the country, and before he arm wrestles, he always grabs his hat, and he says, man, before I arm wrestle, I take my hat and I spin it around. It's like flipping a switch. You got to be able to do that when you pick the phone up. I mean, your day might start off kind of cruddy, but if you can't flip the switch and turn it on, turn on your mojo, then don't get on the phone. You know, maybe go work out, do something else, and then come back to it. You got to be able to flip the switch, and that's what you got to do when you get on the phone here. So I've said this to every salesperson I've ever met, a lead's a lead. Leads a lead. It don't matter if it's a $12 lead. Now, mind you, there are some leads that I think are better leads. I always liked a door knock lead. When I used to run leads, if someone walks up and knocks on your door, that's a face-to-face communication, and that person in about 15 minutes makes an instant decision to let somebody come to their house tomorrow. And then we go in the house the next day. It was a really warm lead. The person that knocked on the door built it up. That's an indecision maker. That's a pretty hot lead. Versus a telemarketer just setting a lead, and they're just setting a lead to set a lead, and they might set a lead in Timbuktu, and you're going to see a guy that doesn't even own the house. So there's a difference in some leads. But watch this. Lead to lead. Someone give you an example. Ran a lead yesterday that I paid $34 for, and a guy filled it out. Really nice and pretty, and I called him up, set the appointment, super nice. The guy's like, yeah, man, come on out. Can't wait to see you. Get to the guy's house at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's an hour drive to his house. He invites me in the house, and he has a pile of these lead sheets sitting on his table, about 16 of them. And he says, sir, I brought you out here today just to tell you that I would like you to stop mailing me these leads. And he says, I've already spent $16 to overnight leads back to you guys once before, and I just wanted you to know that we're not buying anything and we're not doing anything. So that was the lead I spent $34 for. You know what you got to do with that one? It's called next. I went out to a lead on Monday. I got this lead on 5/18. I ran the lead on 5/24. It's a 79-year-old attorney. And I got to his house, and he said, look, Mr. Griffin, he says, you told me you're going to be 15 minutes. He says, you got 14. He says, go. Well, you're not, you know, you can do your best to try to get through your stuff, but if you can't, he who has control at the beginning has control at the end. So if you can't gain control at the beginning, then you gather the information you can, and then you reset it. So I found out this guy's 79. He has $1 million policy that expires when he's 80, and he didn't have enough time to go through it. Guys on metformin, got blood pressure, had stents put in his heart. I mean, it's a little bit of a challenge. But I knew in a few months he's going to have nothing. So I kept calling this guy, kept calling this guy, kept calling this guy. And finally, I got a hold of him, and I went and ran this lead on Monday. This is a lead I paid $12 for. And I wrote him up for $4.95 a month for 6,000 APV, mutual Omaha. And they deposited the money in my account today. Put them on Monday, the money's in my account today. Lead to lead, $12, $34. You know, it doesn't work out next. So for me, for these calling leads, here's the most common objection I have found that I get. And I've tried a dozen different things, and I'll tell you the one thing that I have found that's worked for me. So here we go. The number one objection that I get on a calling lead is, hey, man, we were just calling that number to see what this thing was, and after we figured out what it was, we decided we didn't want it. So here's what I say. I say that's exactly why I'm calling. I said, you know, I don't have nothing to sell you. All I'm going to do is work up a quote for you. I mean, you called to figure out what it was. Now you know what it is. Your quote's free. All I'm going to do is watch this soft sell. All I'm going to do is come out to your house, go over the quote with you, and I'll leave it with you and your wife. And if you guys want to call me back in a couple of weeks and you want to do something great, if not, that's fine too. So how tall are you and what do you weigh? So I take the pressure off them and I soft sell it. Of course, that's not what we're going to do when we get to the house. When we get to the house, we're going to close them. But I soft sell, hey, you know, I don't have nothing to sell you. All I'm going to do is come out to the house. I'll go over the quote with you. I'll leave you the information. At least you'll know how it works and what it costs. So when you get around to doing it, you can call me back. Fair enough? Okay, good. How tall are you and what do you weigh? And I set the appointment, and I go close them. That's worked for me, soft sell. I don't do that with the other leads. I mean, I close it up and make sure it's – but soft sells work for those leads. Because that particular person is, you know, I'd say one out of four, maybe one out of five, said, yeah, we're interested in that insurance. And then the other ones, you got to have some skills on the phone. You definitely got to reach down in your bag of mojo. So watch this. I used to run a $100 million company called Dixie Home Crafters here in Atlanta. And when we would hire a new rep to come in our office, we gave you 16 pages, full pages of script. You didn't get your first lead until you had it memorized and you could sit down and we call it the hot seat. Put you in the hot seat from about 50 guys and gals, and you had to spit out the whole 16 pages, and not like, it had to come out smooth as glass, or you didn't get a lead. So watch this. If you have decided to be a professional salesperson, closers, so don't just half-heartedly get on the phone, see how it goes. You've got to master your craft. This is what you've chosen for your career, to be a salesperson. You know, you got to master your craft. Master your craft means you have to have your script down. You know what? If you don't know how to overcome objections, you need to get some books. You need to get some tapes. You need to be listening to that stuff, how to do it. I can tell you right now, there is no objection I can't overcome because I've heard them all. They're all the same. 20 years ago to today, got to think about it, got to pray about it, got to make decisions. We don't buy. I got to talk to my mom, got to talk to my dad, got to talk to my kids. We never buy the first time out. And guess what? The things they say on the phone are the same thing. So write them down. Have your rebuttals there. All of our telemarketers and every company I ever had, we would put a mirror in their cubicle so they could see what their face looked like while they were talking to their client on the phone. It is that real. You ever watch TV and someone yells, ooh, and you're watching TV and all of a sudden you're yawning? Kind of weird, ain't it? Or someone smiles and you smile. Or someone's laughing and you're laughing. Well, if you're like a stick in the mud on the phone and that's what you look like in the mirror, that's what you sound like to the person on the other end. And it only takes, you got a real small window before you hear click. And here's another one. No doesn't mean no. No means I don't have enough information yet to tell you yes. Called a guy a couple months ago, and this guy answered the phone, and he cussed me till the flies went laying on me. He said, MF-er, blah, 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 and he just blasted me, and then hung up, click. So I sat there for about 30 seconds. I said, must have come off wrong. And then I picked up my home phone, called him right back. And I said, hey, buddy, I'm your insurance agent. I said, you filled out this card and asked me to call you. I don't know what's going on. I mean, we got off on the wrong foot, man. I'm just trying to help you, bud. And he said, you MF or da-da-da-da-da. Guess what? That's just how he talks. Some people talk like that. I don't want to talk like that, but some people, that's just how they talk. And his demeanor was different, but he still was pretty foul dude. So I set the appointment and went to his house the next day and closed him. No, didn't mean no. No means I don't have information yet to tell you yes. So you, when you're working with these call-in leads, you got to master your craft. There are a bunch of objections Jeremy and I are going to go through here in a minute. Write this stuff down and then master it. You got to know your craft. If this is what you're going to do for your career, you got to know your craft. You're never going to get to the top unless you master your craft. All right, Jeremy, you want to bang through some of these, buddy?
Yeah, and man, I love your mindset behind it and that soft sell approach. And for me, what sums mindset up for me, and I was having this conversation with Tim Pinzo while we were here, and he said, you know, after talking with successful people, and he was talking about a gentleman that he had known that was super, super successful. He makes over $1 million a year, and me and him was talking about this, you know, the call-in leads. And really, he said something that kind of stuck with me, and I've been thinking about it like all night. And he said, it's simple. He says, you know, you really got to be able to train your mind to love the things you hate. So if you're on the phone and you're really, you know, like, I really don't like these call-in leads, that they're crappy leads, or whatever you're calling them in your head, it's a mind thing. Start with your mind. Train your mind to love the things you hate. So let's go into some of this. So as we talk to about technique, I think it's important in the very beginning of it you're going to hear us role play a little bit. Me and John will get into a little bit of that and covering some objections, a few of them at least. You will hear some differences. I can say they will be noticeable in my call-in lead or my script in general. I use it whether it's call-in leads or whether it's direct mail leads. It's all the script, but I honestly only leave a couple things out. Just because I want to have a more assumptive approach, because I know that it's a lot of assuming when I'm dealing with impulse. So what the first thing, if you're taking notes, the first thing you'll notice that I do, and this is, I never get, you know, I don't remember filling that out because I really don't ever bring it up. Right. So the first thing I do is I get rid of a couple phrases. I get rid of, I'm calling about your mortgage and the amount of, and I get rid of, do you remember that? Right. And then I add a little bit, I'm the agent they assigned to your case, and I just wanted to take the time to call and introduce myself and let you know that I'm going to get started working on this for you today. So as we go through and we role play, you will notice that that is a little bit different, if you will, just for this role play. And take it off your script. If you're looking at a call-in lead script, just kind of cross those two things out, the call about your mortgage and the amount of, and cross out the do you remember that. That will get us in a where you're able to relate to me whenever we're going through this script. And just remembering, obviously, to be super, super assumptive. And remember that these people actually called in this that postcard, the number, they put their information in, husband, wife, whoever made the phone call. And to me, in my mind, they're guilty until they're proven innocent. So to me, they're a deal. This is something that they wanted, and they're just guilty until I can prove it otherwise. So I've been training for, you know, like I said, about 10 years, training different salespeople. And one of the things that I do is I do an ABC training. And when I put it to the phones, it changed a little bit from when I'm talking about closing. So if you write down the first one, and that's just acknowledging. When I'm talking about objections, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to acknowledge that objection, right? That's A. B is I'm going to bounce. It's in my mind, it's like throwing that objection to the ground and using it to score some points. So you may understand it better just by saying deflect, but we're talking ABC. So A is acknowledge, B is bounce, C is just simply to continue with the script. It's going to be a lot of stuff that we've talked about in Miranda, and they've done really, really good jobs on. I really love the way they put this together. We're going to put a little spin on it and really focus on posture here. And we're really just attempting to turn those objections, obviously, into yeses. So we understand that, yes, you do have to do maybe a little bit more selling when it comes to the call-in leads. But really what you're selling is the appointment. Do not get on the phone and think just because I said you've got to do a little bit more selling, don't think you've got to sell the product on the phone. You're really just selling the appointment, right? So it's really not the lead whenever I used to say it all the time to my crew. And when they go out knocking doors and they say, hey, it was tough out here today, man, I hate that area, blah, blah, blah. And I go, you know, it's not the man, it's the land. Right. And I think with this, it's really not it's not the lead. It's the leader. You're the leader. So you've really got to lead them to the place where you want them to go. And you're going to have to be able to be really good at taking and really capitalizing on those little small things, those little, you know, if you were in front of them, they'd be nodding their head, but you're on the phone and they're, uh-huh, yeah. Those little things, you grasp them and you sell the appointment, right? So I'm going to go through, let's kind of go through one off the top, and then, John, we'll go through and just kind of do some objections here on these last two. But I'm going to go through three different objections, the ones that I get the most. And you'll notice that one of the things that I'm doing is, yeah, even though I might get some crazy clients, and there may be a heart click at the end of the phone, or it may have somebody that, you know, is just kind of out there. My objective isn't to get into an argument with them, obviously, or my objective is, like they say, kill them with kindness, right? So I'm going to be super professional while I'm on the phone with them, and I'm going to handle those objections with finesse. So I'm going to be calling you, John. You'll be my client, if you don't mind, and I'm calling your call-in lead. So, hey, John.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, this is Jeremy Whitaker. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
That's good. I'm just getting back to you about that postcard you received in the mail regarding your mortgage. Either you or your spouse would have went on, put in the information, requested some information on mortgage protection. I'm the agent that they assigned your case to. I just wanted to call, be able to take the time, introduce myself, let you know I'm going to get started working on your case today. Second off, be able to verify some of this information that you put into the phone, make sure I'm looking at the right options for you. Now, I've got you here as John Griffin. You're at 2675 Wallaby Way, Sydney. And it looks like that mortgage ID you entered is 182-5468. And I've got that coming back to a 42-year-old male. Looks like no tobacco, and you do have a spouse, correct?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm looking here, it's showing that your mortgage is, it's looking like $163,450 when it started. Is that still pretty correct?
It is.
Awesome. So if you'll notice, the only thing I did there was I removed those two phrases, right? I'm going to be super assumptive the whole way through. I'm not going to ask them if they remember filling this in. I'm the agent that got assigned this case. I just wanted to call and let you know I'm going to start working on this. I want to help you out with it, right? So let's go through and assume, John, tell me you're not interested. So let's go through, let's kind of run through it really quick again, and I'll kind of leave some stuff out. So hey, John.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, this is Jeremy Whitaker. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
That's awesome. I'm actually just getting back with you about that postcard you received in the mail regarding your mortgage. You call the number, follow some phone prompts, answer some questions so we can get you some information on mortgage protection. I'm the agent they assigned the case to. I wanted to call and take the time to be able to introduce myself, let you know I'm going to get started working on this. So I'm going to be able to verify.
That's awesome.
Honestly, that's exactly why I called. So recently you received, or your spouse would have received a postcard in the mail. Either one of you would have took the time to listen to that recording. It would have been mentioned paying off the home in the event of a death or a sickness or a disability. Now, facts are over 90% of households, if they lose the breadwinner, they lose the house too. So I don't know which one of those stood out as more of a concern for you. Was it getting sick or getting disabled, or was it more like you guys were just concerned if you died?
Yeah, we're really not interested. We got insurance. We are insured.
You got insurance. What type of insurance did you get?
Yeah. Oh, we got life insurance.
Got some life insurance.
Yeah.
That is awesome, and congrats on that. And just so that I can kind of note this correctly, John, I'm seeing here, like I said, it's showing me that somebody called in and requested like mortgage protection. And obviously, I'm pretty sure you probably know mortgage protection is a little bit different from like a life insurance. So what this is going to do, it's going to not only protect if you die, but I mean, if you get sick or get disabled, I mean, like I said, facts are most families, if you were to lose that breadwinner, if he got sick or disabled or unable to work, they'd also lose the house. I mean, were you guys more looking at this for like disability or for, was it for getting sick, critically ill or something like that?
No, my crazy wife must have filled that out. I don't even recall doing it.
Now, I get it. I'm married to my wife. She sends in all kinds of stuff all the time, and I don't even know about it. I'll get some phone calls. Now, I don't know for her, maybe are you in a position to where you can sort of answer a couple questions for her?
Sure.
And that's good. And it won't take but a second. So,
okay.
Which of, for her, I don't know what her situation's like, but like I said, most families, what will end up happening is they lose the house if somebody gets disabled or if they get sick or if they were to die. Now, for her, which do you think was the biggest of her concerns?
Probably if something happened to me, she would be stuck trying to figure out what to do. So she's probably the one that called in.
Gotcha. And that's no big. I mean, we want to completely help with that. And I'm going to work up some options here. Now, let me verify this information. So you are the 42-year-old male it's talking about?
Yes.
Great. And you don't smoke?
Nope.
And what's your date of birth?
5/22/71.
Awesome. So we see what I'm doing. I'm gonna use that same rebuttal a couple different times because I wanted to know, hey, you're not getting off the hook this easy, right? Like, not interested, it's not gonna be good enough. I've got to find that common ground. So when he lets me, and it says, maybe my wife filled it out, that is perfect because now that I've got him on the hook on, can you answer a couple questions for your wife, which is more of a concern for her? And then he turns around and says, well, you know, she's probably worried about if something happens to me. Great. Now we've got something to work with. Now I just continue, right? Just continue with the script. So we covered not interested. We covered, I don't remember filling that out or, you know, that kind of thing. What other objections, John, for you are like those big ones that you get?
The big one I get is, hey, man, we were just calling that number to see what this was, and now we know what it is. We're not interested. So click. And then you got to call them right back. Sometimes they don't give you the time. You got to call them back and still try to – I mean, you got to have people skills to do this, man. I mean, you know, first impressions are everything. You know, when you walk into someone's home, it's vastly different because they can't just, like, go into the Karate Kid and kick you in the teeth and you're out the door, but they can literally just hang up on you. So you got to have some people skills, and – you got to be able to turn on the mojo, man, when you call them. I mean, I do mine a little different when I call people. I kind of follow the same script as the leads you fill out, but I just change a couple of the words. And what I'll say is I'll say, hey, Jeremy, this is John, your case manager with your case at Wells Fargo Bank. Hey, we mailed a postcard to you about a week ago or so, and either you or your spouse called the number on and went through some prompts and requested a quote for mortgage protection insurance, and I'm the agent they assigned to help you, and I got your file here in front of me, and I was working on it this afternoon, but I'm missing a couple things. I want to finish this quote up and just get it back to you. I see that you're 35, you live in Cobb County, and you guys owe about $382 on the house. What I'm missing is your height and weight. So, Jeremy, how tall are you?
I am 5'11".
Cool, and what do you weigh?
150.
Perfect, man. Hey, do you take any prescribed meds?
Oh, nothing.
Okay, cool. Wow, man. Have you been hospitalized for anything major like heart attack, stroke, cancer?
Well, not lately.
Not lately? Okay. Well, expound on that. Like, how long ago were you hospitalized and what was it for?
Well, I had to check
your
myself
wife died in.
In
the eye?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, that was part of it. I had to check myself in. So uh, I, I, I have to be honest with you. I take some Xanax.
Take some Xanax. Okay, well, that's no big deal. Xanax is not going to disqualify you. So here's what I do. I'm a broker, and what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to shop it. So I'm going to send this out to quite a few carriers. I'm going to find the most coverage for the least money, and that's what I'm going to present to you. Hey, were you interested in getting a policy for your wife as well, or is this mainly for you?
Well, it depends. I really don't know if I need it.
Well, you might. Let's just do this. How tall is your wife?
She's 4'11".
4'11". Okay, cool. And what does she weigh?
About 98 pounds.
Fantastic. And does she take any prescribed meds, Jeremy?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good. Okay. Has she been hospitalized for anything major like heart attack, stroke, cancer?
No, she just had C-section.
Okay, fantastic. Well, she's in great shape. She qualifies for everything, too. So here's what I'm going to work on this quote this afternoon. It's going to take me a couple hours. And then, state passes a new fraud protection law. They actually physically require me to come out of your house, look at your driver's license, and make sure you're you. I know you're you, and you know you're you. We'll make sure you're not in a wheelchair. That's just how they do it now. I used to sit here at the house with my underoos and just fire out emails. They don't let me do it anymore. So I'm looking at my calendar. And, hey, what's your work schedule like? Do you work days or nights? Or do you have any days during the week that you guys are both home together?
No, I work days. She works nights.
Okay. So when do you guys make babies? That would be when you're together.
We did that 2 years ago.
I know you got
ago.
A bunch of them, so. Why you guys never argue. When is a good time to get you guys together, Jeremy?
By the way,
this only takes about 10 or 15 minutes, depending on how many questions you got. So after church on Sunday, what time do you guys get home?
Yeah, about 2.
Okay. I'll tell you what, I got some time on Sunday. I will make a special trip to come out there and see you guys after I get out of church. Would 3 o'clock work for you guys, or do you guys usually go out to eat after church? You want to push it back to 4?
Yeah, 3 o'clock will be fine.
3 o'clock will be fine. Okay. And what is your wife's first name?
Michelle.
Michelle. Could you let Michelle know that we're going to be there at 3 o'clock? And I know Sunday is family day. And just let her know this. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to come in there and hang out with you guys till 6 o'clock. I'll be in and out of the house. All I'm going to do is come out, go over the quote with you, and leave you guys the quote and let you walk you through it. And I got you down for 3 o'clock on Sunday. And I'll see you then, Jeremy.
Awesome.
So
I love that.
I do have some fun with the customers. I cut up with them a little bit. That's just my style. You notice when I asked this guy, I said, do you work days or nights, or do you have any days during the week that you guys are home together? Because you know what? Some people, like where I'm at in Atlanta, there's a lot of Home Depot people, man. They work from home sometimes, like 1 or 2 days a week. There's a lot of Verizon people. There's a lot of Lowe's people. And sometimes mom's a housewife, or she works part-time, and dad's got Thursdays off. Nothing's cooler than seeing a 35-year-old couple at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday versus, if you can move a night block into a day block, you do that because, you're always going to see your retirees during the day, and you're going to see your professional people at night. But if you can move one to the day, it just gives you another daily because dailies sometimes are hard to come by unless someone's 70. So I'll always ask, do you have a day off and you and your wife are both together? That's just get you another daily.
That is so good. Another one I get, and I don't know, you may get it too, is that, I don't have a mortgage. You ever get that?
Yeah. I said, what kind of insurance do you
have? For me, I've got life insurance through work.
Okay. Well, hey, Jeremy, the cool thing about mortgage protection insurance is it used to physically be on your home, and today the policy is physically on you. So if you live in your house for 10 years and you move, the policy moves with you. And the cool thing about it is you don't have to have a mortgage. Are you still working, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Okay. So God forbid you got prostate cancer. I mean, that would suck. But guess what? You're not going to die. You're going to treat it and beat it. You know what you're not going to do? You're not going to work for about 6 months. So if you couldn't go to work for 6 months because you were getting chemo for 4 days a week, and in between your chemo, you're sleeping on the couch and you weren't working, and then when you're finally able to get back to work, they replaced you and you don't even have a job, how would that look like with your life insurance policy that only pays out if you die at work? Probably be tough times, wouldn't it? So what I'm going to show you is a policy that has living benefits that if something happened to you where you weren't able to go to work, a portion of that policy will pay out. So you can pay for your car, pay for your other car. You can eat, pay your electric bill, pay your light bill. You're not going to lose anything. You know, Jeremy, if you miss your car payment twice, there's a tow truck in your driveway. And that's just the facts of life. And, man, that's cool that you got your house paid off, but this policy will come in handy so you don't lose your other things. So, again, how tall are you? What do you weigh? I go right back.
That is so good.
As soon as I sell what I'm selling, I go right back to how tall are you? What do you weigh? You taking prescribed meds? Man, that's fantastic. Okay, cool. And if someone's super healthy, watch this. If I'm talking to somebody on the phone and let's say they're 65 or above and they're pretty healthy, I'll congratulate them. I say, man, that's awesome. You don't take any meds. And I'm at, you know, you're the only guy I talked to today that's pretty healthy. You know, because a lot of times you're talking to someone's 35 and they take 4 or 5 meds. So, you know, if someone's pretty healthy, I'll talk to them about that. Then older people like to talk on the phone. Your more professional people would just want to get to the point. So you got to know your client. I tell you what, there's a book called The Closers 2. Ben Gay wrote this book. And, man, in the back of that book, watch this. There's so many different personalities. Like, think about this. When you're talking to a biologist and then the next person you're talking to is a car salesperson, those are two vastly different people. One is so left brain, and when you're sitting in someone's kitchen and you ask them, hey, what do you do for a living? You can almost tell where it's, my wife is an algebra teacher, and I'm a chemist. Okay, so you do have to, with that person, kind of have to tell them how to build the watch instead of just what time it is. So you got to kind of figure people out over the phone. And if the opportunity presents itself, sometimes I go, hey, man, what do you do for a living? And now I know how that person's makeup is built up, and I'll change my mojo to fit that person. Because watch this. If your mouth is running and you're just shooting stuff out, the hardest objection to overcome is the one you create. So if you're just running your mouth and all of a sudden something comes up, you're like digging a hole and all of a sudden you can't see your head anymore. So you don't ask questions you don't know the answer to, which is exactly why I don't ask that in the script. You know, that script says, well, remember doing that? Because that's an open-ended question, and then now you have an objection. 9 times out of 10, you have to overcome it. So I don't ask questions I don't know the answer to, and more times than not, I will tell them instead of sell them. Selling is telling. Instead of asking them questions, I'll tell them this is how we're doing it on the phone. And then I'll see you tomorrow. My name's John. That's it. I do things different just because, like, watch this. Some people like to set their appointment, and they set appointments on Monday and Tuesday for Saturday and Sunday, and they never call them. They just run them. Well, that's cool. I tend to always run a lot of no-shows when I do that. So I called that person the day before, and my call goes like this. Hey, Jeremy, this is John, your insurance agent. I'm already their insurance agent. Hey, this is Jay. This is John, your insurance agent. Hey, just reminding you, I'm going to be at your house tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So meet with you and Michelle. So look forward to meeting you guys. I'll see you tomorrow at 7. If you ask them, hey, man, is it still okay for me to come out there tomorrow at 7? No, man, I'm glad you called. We're going bowling tomorrow. Click. So I tell them I'm coming. Now, they might give me some kind of objection, but this is where I'll press them. I mean, I'll hold their feet to the fire. Well, you know, Jeremy, I already booked you down on my appointment, and I'm making a special trip out there to see you guys. Watch, if they live on the same street as me, you know, I already booked this appointment, and I'm making a special trip out there to see you guys. I special trip them. It's a special trip, especially if it's a Sunday afternoon. Job tricky. So, yeah. Master your craft, people. If you want to – this is grown-up poker. So, master your craft. Write your script out, master it. You know, sometimes, watch this, sometimes I'm on the phone with somebody and it's an older person. And instead of calling by their first name, a lot of times I'll go, hey, Mr. Stokes, this is John, and I'm talking to him. The first time I call Mr. Stokes, that's what I did with this guy, 79-year-old guy. His first name was McNeil. I said, hey, man, so what do your friends call you? He said, McNeil. I said, do you mind if I call you McNeil? He says, yeah, you call me. Well, all my friends call me John, so call me John. So now we are friends. Older people like you when, you know, it's kind of funny. Look, and I'm saying, older people on the phone that are probably 65 years old, and they're going, I'm not that old. It's like when you get past that 60 mark, you kind of earn the right to be Mrs. Jones instead of Sally. So you give them that respect. Say, hey, Mrs. Jones, how are you? Okay, and listen to my voice. Lower my voice. Voice inflection. Hey, Mrs. Jones, this is John. How are you? And, okay, and then we're talking for a little bit. And I'll say, hey, Mrs. Jones, what do your friends call you? Watch this. I find this out on the phone. This is important. Some people on this lead sheet, I would say 1 out of 5 people, that's not their name. They go by their middle name, or they go by TJ, or they got something else. And you're in their house for an hour, and you're calling them Bill. And then he goes, well, you know, you're in the end of the thing, and he's like, well, anyway, you know, my name's Howard. I'm Bill Howard, but everybody calls me Howard. You've been calling him Bill. No one calls him Bill except for you. That's your fault. You didn't ask the right questions. So I find out on the phone, hey, what do all your friends call you? And then he says, well, my friends call me Jeff. Then I ask permission to call him Jeff. Well, can I call you Jeff? Yeah. Okay, well, all my friends call me John. Hey, Jeff, it's a pleasure to meet you. Now we're friends. People want to do business with their friends. And guess what? People want to do business with professional people that know what they're doing. That's why you have to master your craft. You can't be on the phone going do-do-do-do-do-do-do and then get out to the house and not know what you're doing. So you got to master your craft. All right, I think we ran over here, Jeremy. We're like a 2:14.
We sure did, but it was good. It was good. It was worth it. Hopefully everybody got something out of that. I'm pretty sure me and you could go on for another hour. Maybe we'll get invited back. But I guess for this, I think the most important parts that we covered, obviously, were those few different objections. And what I've found is after going back on SFG Life and going through those most common objections that's right there on the website, if you just kind of take those and you just get really good at practicing those, and when those objections come up, you're able to, it just rolls off your tongue, and maybe you make it a little bit more of you. Remember to assume everything with call-in leads, and you'll definitely go out and have a turnaround, especially where you're struggling, if you'll just kind of put some of those little principles, some of these little nuggets that we've dropped in the place, mm-hmm. and you start going out there and using them right away. So I guess we're going to send it back over to Brandon and Casey. Thanks for having us.
Yep. All right, closers, lace them up. They already hung up, too. They're already on the golf course. Pow! They hung up at 159. All right, man. We're the only ones on the call. Awesome.
Talk to ourselves. Y'all have a good one.